Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. And we're very glad that you are on board On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565.
Off. Oh, there we are.
There we go. Okay, perfect. Yeah, I think I got a loose wire over here on the headphone bobber.
Oh, you've got more than one loose wire, brother.
We got a live wire across from me today, apparently.
I'm a live wire. You're a loose wire.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in, I guess. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or text us at 70236. And let's see. We have, a couple of emails pending. Linda Schlegel-Culver, our state representative in the 108th District, is going to be checking in today. So we'll get an opportunity to hear from her on a couple of different topics. And one of our emailers already sent us a note that relates to her leadership in Harrisburg. So we'll put that question to her when the time comes. So pull that mic closer to you, if you don't mind, Joe.
I was just waiting until you finished. You always accuse me of interrupting you. I was attempting to be polite today in the spirit of the season.
Did you notice how the spirit of the season taints everything?
Taint good to be nasty at Christmas time.
Right, so you should be nice no matter what, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, except now we have this big evangelical fight on. You know, I thought after the impeachment thing was done, we'd have Christmas off. But, of course, Nancy Pelosi hasn't passed the articles of impeachment off to the Senate and apparently doesn't want to do so. And then the big debate arose over Christianity Today magazine's calling for President Trump to be removed. And that sparked a lot of outrage on both sides.
The impeachment. Not through revolution or something.
They're not advocating his murder. No, but I agree with you.
My observation has been Christianity Today has been very contemporary, sort of forward thinking. They really take on the big issues of the day. So that's sort of where they're coming from. They are not. It's not a sort of a regressive organization. It's not old fashioned Catholics or Roman Catholics who like sort of the old church ways. It's not.
Well, they say they are Bible-believing Christians and patriotic Americans who are simply grateful that our president has sought our service as his administration has advanced policies to protect the unborn, promote religious freedom, reform our criminal justice system, contribute to strong working families through paid family leave, protect the freedom of conscience, prioritize patient rights, and ensure that our foreign policy aligns with our values while making our world safer, including through our support of the State of Israel. Now, that's what the people who oppose this editorials say they are.
Okay.
So, the letter continued, we are not theocrats, and we recognize that our imperfect political system is a reflection of the fallen world within which we live, reliant upon the grace of the Lord, which is freely given to sinner and saint alike. We are proud to be numbered among those in history who, like Jesus, have been pretentiously accused of having too much grace for tax collectors and sinners, and we take deeply our personal responsibility to render under Caesar's what is Caesar's, our public service.
Mm-hmm.
You buy that?
Well, that's fine. I honestly think, of course, when it comes to President Trump's religious beliefs, you know, this, everybody falls short of, you know, Jesus' standard, so we're all in that boat. But he sort of continually does things that I'm really surprised that Christians would say is in lockstep with their beliefs. But we talked about this on Friday with Ben, and one of our good listeners, Carl, called in and said, we did not elect President Trump to be our pastor. His goal is to lead the nation, and whatever it takes, whatever he needs to say, whatever he needs to do, you know, any bullying or grabbing women's private parts or, you know, divorcing women while
he's
having
affairs. That's what the caller said.
No.
Carl called in.
No, Carl said he's not our pastor, period.
You said whatever it takes, and you made it sound like that's what Carl said as you rambled through those gross and offensive descriptions of what the president was alleged to have done, but which was never really proven.
Well, that he admitted doing. You're right. They're right. We don't have any proof that he grabbed women. He just says that he does.
He said he could. He didn't say he did.
No, he has. And while women say he has, you know, dozens of women say he has. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, you don't need to go into the past.
Well, it's both here and there. It's the whole point.
You don't need to go into the past. I believe the Christianity Today article really called attention to the impeachment proceeding and this idea that the president would use his power, I think their word was, to harass a current political candidate, which the investigation would that the president wanted anyway for against Hunter Biden and Joe Biden would have been a form of harassment, since if the Ukraine felt there was need to already, they would have done so. But the president wanted them to go to a microphone and announce that they were doing one. He didn't really care if they actually did an investigation. He just wanted them to say it so that he would have, you know, a political point against a person who's a political rival, and potentially, anyway, a presidential contender.
The author of the editorial said in an interview on CBS's Face the Nation that Trump's support of causes important to the evangelical community can no longer excuse his actions in other areas, and said the president is morally unfit to occupy the Oval Office. Now, what makes them qualified to judge someone's moral fitness? Isn't it one of the tenets of Christianity, judge not, that ye be not judged?
Well, this is an American citizen speaking, and we are permitted to judge our leaders. This is what we do. So that's the hat that allows him to do that. Now, as a Christian, are we supposed to judge individuals? No. But it's obvious that the president is not a person of high moral character.
How is that obvious?
But many of our listeners have said, so what? We want 401ks to boom. We want unemployment to be at record low. We want a president who is assertive. You know, there just isn't any area where the president is timid or undecided, except health care, but that's another topic. So, but they want a president who is these things nationally, but personally, they don't mind. Does it bother you that on Twitter he insults and names call, he calls women fat?
Yes, it does bother me.
Okay, but not so much that you don't support him.
I'm able to separate his personal bad behavior from his performance as president of the United States. Now, I realize with many people those two are intertwined beyond the ability to de-intertwine them, if you will. Mm-hmm. They are just so wrapped up in this man's, their personal dislike and disgust for this man, that they can't even look objectively at the other things he's achieved. Yes, he is not my ideal candidate for a president of the United States, and neither one of us voted for him. But I do think he's done some things that really needed to be done to move this country forward. And I think we are on a much more positive basis now than we were when Barack Obama left office.
Could there be anything in his private life that this president would do that you would say, well, I can no longer support him as president? Would there be anything, like if he killed children or kicked cats or...
How about with Jack Kennedy having an affair with a woman who was also having an affair with a gangster?
Okay, so that's it. So if the president did that,
No, I'm just
perfect.
Saying, the difference is we didn't know. In other words, it didn't come out until long after John Kennedy was dead. Right. No one said this man's morally unfit to be president because we didn't know what he did.
Okay, so
now today we know everything about everybody. There's always a camera pointed at you. There's always a microphone on.
Gotcha.
You know, and so people today are much more aware of the shortcomings and
President Trump had an affair, no, wait, you have to explain this again, had an affair with a woman whose husband was a mobster, is that
no,
right?
No, no. Jack Kennedy was having an affair with Judith Exner, who was also dating Sam Giancana at the same time.
Okay, perfect. So if President Trump did that, you would continue to support him. You would not. You still wouldn't cross that line. I'm trying to draw an example.
I'm
would you support the president?
We didn't know. of what Jack Kennedy did.
All right, well, let me rephrase the question.
It didn't affect our perception of him as President of the United States.
Gotcha.
We know every single thing that Donald Trump has done that we don't like.
Okay, I gotcha.
And
right.
So it forms our opinion of the man.
Right, so we didn't know about that. Okay, let's...
So let's take
this
all the things
instance.
We know about Donald Trump's bad behavior off the table. And all we have to judge him on is his record as President of the United States.
Right.
No insults, no mocking disabled people, none of that stuff, no crotch grabbing. We don't know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of a president is he now?
Well, he probably wouldn't be a terrible one. He'd be like a Nixon or a...
Well, I think we could do better than that.
He'd be up like a Reagan, you know. He'd be in high regard. But let me ask you this. Let's suppose that we do know that the president is having an affair with a woman who is also seeing a mobster. Would you vote for the president if you knew that?
No.
Okay. So there's the line. So you have a line. Let me finish the analogy. There's the line. You do have a line. You haven't crossed it
yet. But you didn't ask me why.
Why I draw
that line there.
Well, let me finish, and then you can say that. You can say that the president can do all these other things, grab women and tweet, offensive remarks about people and just generally do whatever it is that, he does that irritates people. But he hasn't crossed that line. But if he had an affair with a woman who was also fooling around with a mobster, that would be too much for you.
But you won't let me answer.
I'm just telling you where
tell you why
people,
I draw the line there.
I'm just telling you that different people have already crossed that line.
I draw the line there because that was a dangerous thing to do. It was, in effect, actually putting our national security at risk, putting the United States government at risk, putting him in a position to be blackmailed. You know, it was a terrible thing to do. It was irresponsible.
What would prevent the Ukraine from blackmailing President Trump if he
had gotten
away with it?
Because the president announced what he did.
What if he
released
he released the
transcript.
Right away, yes, after he got caught. But what if he hadn't gotten caught? Could he not be blackmailed by the Ukraine?
No.
Why?
Because he asked me a question. Let me answer.
Okay.
He demonstrated his willingness to come out and say, this is what I did. He released his conversation.
It's not a transcript. It's just selected highlights.
Well, everybody's calling it a transcript.
Well, I would call
even,
it what
even
it really
people
is.
Who oppose it
selected
it
highlights picked by the White House for us to see.
But no one's arguing the sense of it. No one's disputing that he lied there.
No, I'm just correcting you. If you're not, you have to call things by the right term.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I'm going to call you.
All right, we're going to take a break before Joe's having a meltdown here. All right, but we are trying to defend the president because Well, you plus your evangelical people in your article there. We're going to take a quick break, but we would love you to participate in this. Carl, you're welcome to call back and elaborate on the fact that this president is not supposed to be our pastor. Joe has admitted that there is some line this president could cross, that he would no longer find him morally fit to be president because of the dangerous situation.
Well, I didn't say morally. I said I wouldn't vote for him under those circumstances.
Okay, right. Well, whatever.
Because what he did is dangerous to the country.
Whatever the issue is, there is a line. But for many other people, the president's already crossed that line with the many other things he's already done. The bullying, the tweeting of insults, calling women names, grabbing them by the privates, or claiming he did, which is just as bad as actually doing it, as far as I know. Just being a person of low moral character, keeping kids in cages, which Joe will tell you was started in the Obama administration, and the president had ample opportunity to stop it and declined to do so.
And did Barack Obama stop it and had ample opportunity to do so?
And, of course, it's just a terrible role model for our young people. But other than that, the president's on board with Joe McGranahan. Awesome. He must be a blast at Christmas. Do whatever you want. Celebrate. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkokid.com or text us at 70236. I guess the real question is, when do values matter? For Christianity Today's editor, values matter now, and so he doesn't support the president. But many, many other Christians do support the president, that values matter to a certain extent, but not as much as results, and that's where Joe stands. What's your view on this? Call us immediately. All the lines are open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Our telephone number. Across from me is a man who the American Numismatic Association has awarded emeritus status to honor him for his 50 years as a coin collector, dealer, and appraiser, and a member of the American Numismatic Association. He is, of course, only 70-something years young, but has the emeritus status, Joe McGranahan. So congratulations. Good for you.
Yeah, well, thanks. What it means is I'm old.
Well,
and they start throwing that at
senior
you, emeritus
status. Well, yeah, but I guess that's true. But honest, that's a great honor for you, and it's surprise.
I wasn't aware of it. So,
and tell me about how much do you love this hobby of coins?
Oh, I love it. I've been doing it for 55 years.
Okay, and what's the attraction? Maybe because you're
money.
Holding. Well, you certainly haven't gotten rich from it, but...
No, it's history. It's coin collecting is history.
So you're holding history in your hands when you look at old coins. What's the oldest coin you ever touched?
Oh, I would say it was something... Well, I mean, I just did a collection that had some Roman coins in it, so they were pretty old.
Oh, 2,000 at least, right?
Right, but the oldest American coins would be from the ones originally struck in the 1700s.
Okay. Wow.
Things
super.
Like that.
And you've seen, like, coins with swastikas on them and all that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much you see everything sooner or later.
Okay. Well, fabulous.
Whatever somebody threw in a drawer or added to a collection.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Emeritus status with the American Numismatic Association. So Joe's a bit of a coin collector. All right. We are talking about the president's low moral character.
No, you are.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't think our caller's calling to talk about
that.
Well,
yeah, Dan's had enough, too. He's finally ready to join the liberals and get rid of this guy once and for all because of all his bad behavior. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I'm going to sort of, my call's going to be sort of like the one Friday, but a little different. Like, 50 years ago, I used to receive that magazine, even Christianity Today. And at that time, I stopped receiving it. I didn't renew my prescription because they were representing a part of, we can loosely call Christianity, the progressive liberal point of view that that the Bible wasn't entirely, totally the Word of God. They denied some of the historical parts of Scripture. They didn't represent the true creation. They were varying off of that. That's why I quit receiving that particular periodic. I come out once a month. And I stopped that because of that. So they don't represent biblical Christianity, as we would call an evangelical stand today. And that's, but Billy Graham might have helped found it, but his son was on a couple programs, and Billy Graham voted for President Trump as well as Franklin Graham. And none of the true evangelicals have left President Trump. Yeah, he speaks out. He speaks his mind. But they jumped on him the liberals jumped him in long before he was even office, and they started the name calling, so he lets them have it back. And as far as his moral character, and I didn't follow his whole life, I don't know much about his past, just what I hear. He's done nothing since we elect him as president that I would have any problem with at all, with his moral character.
So the bullying is okay with you when he still calls women fat or ugly or that sort of thing? That's okay?
He does what he does. He takes it. They take it to him. He takes it right back. And for too long, the conservative part of the Republican Party just took it on the chin, tried to smile and have a happy face, and the left wing kept pounding him. And once Trump was running, I figured he's the man that can handle it, and he can give it back, punch him back, and we finally have a man in there that's doing the conservative movement good. He didn't really run fully as a conservative, but as far as that, yeah, he's not really a bad president at all, and he'll get the vote of every, I think, of almost every evangelical, Bible-believing, fundamental Christian in America, I believe.
Well, you may not know them, but there are many, many people who are churched who don't like the president's actions and don't support him. I am not saying that you run into him and that I'm overstating it. I just know that there are many, many people who call themselves Christians who don't support this president in any way.
Mark, I'll be frank with you. The liberal end of what we call, quote, Christianity, yeah, they didn't like Trump from the beginning, and they're not going to support it. I have relatives, and they can't hear me. They live far away from here, but they will not. They can't stand it when I mention Trump, and their quote unquote, the more liberal end of what we call Christianity, loosely. And they're not the Bible-believing, blood-washed type of Christian that'll vote for Trump.
So you won't see them in heaven, in other words.
Listen, Mark, it's hard on my heart. I pray every day for relatives. I don't know. I can't judge where they'll end up. And it worries me all the time what people's belief, what they really believe, if they believe that Jesus Christ, for their own personal salvation, rather relying on him, or rather relying on all the good things they do in this world to get them there. That worries me sick, Mark, every time.
Okay, good answer. Thank you so much.
And before I get off, I want to tell you guys, it's been a pleasure throughout this year talking with you, and I wish you and your staff and the management and all the listeners that put up with me every other day, I wish them all a very Merry Christmas.
All right, noted.
It's been a pleasure hearing everybody's viewpoint and learning.
Much appreciated. Thank you, Dan. We got a caller, and I got to get her on the radio right away. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you. Linda, thank you so much. Do you have just 3 minutes for us today?
Sure.
Okay. Can you call back also after the 9 o'clock hour or stay on hold during the 9:06 news?
If you'd like me to.
Oh,
sure.
Perfect. Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah,
let's do that.
We're about out of time in this segment.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the president, so we'll switch topics completely here, and now we'll go to the State House. State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver of the 108th District on the line. So thank you so much for calling in. Very much appreciated.
Absolutely.
Well, this is that time of year when the legislature produces not just a snow flurry, but a flurry of activity, if you want to call it. A lot of things, some related to criminal justice and so on. So we have about 90 seconds until the news. So let's start the explanation to what's been passed lately, and maybe even more so, what among those elements and bills are your favorites that you think will help make a big difference?
Well, I mean, I can't say any of them are my favorites. We did the Smart Justice Initiative last week when we were in session, and I think that strikes to strike a balance between holding people accountable for their actions, protecting the public and the victims from any dangerous criminals, but providing a second chance to people who have demonstrated the desire and the ability to become more protective members of society. We feel that the way our system's set up right now, if you do, you know, commit a crime, you do the time and you come out, it's extraordinarily hard to get a fresh start and to stay as a law-abiding citizen, because we make it difficult for you to get a job, we make it difficult for you to train. So we're trying to strike that balance.
Are there other bills that passed? What were some of the other ones that did make it through? Actually, I'll tell you what, we're out of time. So I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to do 6 minutes of CBS News, then we're going to go right back to you, okay?
Okay,
all right,
thank you.
Fabulous. Yeah, Linda Slagle Culver on the Newsline. We asked her to call as soon as she was free. She had an 8 o'clock meeting that ended at 3 minutes before the hour, so we appreciate her checking in. But she is on hold at 9:06. We're going to jump into that topic. We thank you so much for joining us. Joe and I are here, our last live program before Christmas. Ben Reichle and I will be back on Friday with best of segments and a year in review in between. But 9:06, we're going to be hearing from Linda Slagle Culver. If you have any questions for her, send them in right now. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we're going to open up the phones shortly. We are literally right in the middle of a conversation with State Representative Linda Slagle Culver of the 108th District. So we appreciate her holding through the break. Good morning, Linda. Thanks for standing by.
Sure.
I do appreciate
it. Always good to listen to the news.
Oh, good. Yeah, now you're informed. One of our listeners sent a note and asked, how many bills have you sponsored and how many have passed that could save money? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to forward that to you so you can look at that and give a more prolonged and more prepared response, because that's a good question. So we'll forward that to you. But the latter part is good. It says, let's see.
Would she be willing to sponsor a bill that would prevent auto and home insurers from using credit scores to establish premium rates? Have you ever given that any thought, Linda?
I actually haven't, and no one's ever mentioned that before, but it'd be something we can definitely look into.
All right, well, this is one of your constituents, so I'll forward that to you without their name. It's sent to us anonymously, so you'll receive it the same way. And then if you will reply to it, we'll read that on the air or forward it to the individual, or whatever is appropriate. So thank you for the email. One of our listeners sent us a note. All right, we were talking about bills that passed. You mentioned the one that related to justice that would really help support victims in a greater way. Any other remarks about bills that have passed and have gone on to the governor lately?
So that was a package of bills that's on its way, most of them over to the Senate. We looked at increasing penalties for certain crimes, establishing minimums. We looked at, a lot of times in prison, they do job training now, you know, cosmetology, you know, barber, hairdresser, different things, allowing them to come out and start working in those fields. You know, provided they met a certain criteria, so we can get them right to work and let people go about the business of living a quality life. Another one was, if you are acquitted of a crime or the charges are dropped, that it automatically expunges the record, because that wasn't happening. So I think we're looking at a lot of updates, but one of the other things that we've learned is our leadership team, the justices and the governor, formed a Pennsylvania juvenile justice system package last week. And Pennsylvania has one of the highest rates of juvenile commitment in the entire nation. So we're concerned about that trend and how are we managing it. So they formed a task force that will have to do a report due by November 30th of 2020, looking at just many different things, you know, legislation, budgetary changes, administration changes, to make sure we're serving our youth well, making sure, you know, we're guiding them, and if they are in trouble, helping them lead a more productive life as adults.
Let's move in a slightly different direction for a moment, but still involving the judicial system. There's been a proposal to now elect statewide judges instead of by statewide, electing them by districts. You want to explain to us why that might be a good idea, or, you know, where you come down on it, and what's likely to happen with it?
So if you talk to anybody about judicial races in the Commonwealth, most people don't know who the judges are, have never heard of their name. It's difficult sometimes to get information. I mean, to quote a constituent, they feel like they're flying blind when they're voting for judges. So there's been a push for merit selection of judges, and in caucus, Russ Diamond, who is the sponsor of the bill, came up with the idea, and he says he got it from, I think, one of his constituents. Why don't we elect judges like we elect the Senate and the House and Congress based upon districts? So, you know, depending on how many seats are on the bench, depends on how many districts there are. So if there's seven seats on the bench, there would be seven districts across the Commonwealth. And as we started to dig into this, we realized 55% of state appellate judges, 4 out of the 7 Supreme Court judges, and 69% of Superior Court judges all come from 2 counties in the Commonwealth. That's concerning when you're talking about an entire Commonwealth getting, I think, fair and, you know, cultural representation around the Commonwealth. So this was proposed. I've been pitching it everywhere I go just to get people's reactions, and I think they're liking it. Like, we could actually, you know, learn a little bit about the judge. Maybe they'd be from our area. We think it would be a more better representation of the Commonwealth if we split it into judicial districts.
Well, obviously, it's not sitting well with the Democrats, right?
We didn't bring it up on the floor yet, so we haven't had floor debate on it. We only got it through our caucus, so I can't answer that completely until I actually hear the floor debate.
But the law is the law. What difference does it make if you're a judge from Pittsburgh or Hershey or Harrisburg or Philadelphia? When it comes to interpreting case law and Pennsylvania law, and then, of course, case law helps, what difference does it make if you're a rural judge or an urban judge?
So I don't know if it makes a difference if you're from rural or urban Pennsylvania. The problem is, unless you're from either of those two counties, you have a slim-to-none chance of being elected. And I have a hard time believing that all good lawyers, all good judges, can only come from 2 counties in the Commonwealth. This gives it a better opportunity for other people who are just as qualified to at least have a chance.
How would you create these districts? And obviously, there would be different districts for different courts because each court has slightly different numbers, right?
Correct. Yep.
Who would do this? The legislature?
I don't know that we would actually do it, and I don't know if a commission would be set up. It's a good question. But it would. I can't answer that right now. I'd have to actually check into that for you.
All right, another topic, Convention of States. The bill is now out of committee. You've had a chance to bone up on this a little bit. What's your view on this idea of getting that passed in Pennsylvania?
So we did caucus the bill. We did not bring it up on the floor at this point. I'm still very mixed on it. I have concerns both ways. I understand, you know, people would like a limited convention. I'm just not sure legally we can do a limited convention that we wouldn't open up the entire Constitution. So I understand both ways. I think there's still a lot of more discussion that needs to be done. If it's my understanding, 15 states have already passed this. There are others considering it. I think they need 34 states to actually have a convention held. We're still in the talking phases, trying to make sure we are doing the right thing. for all Pennsylvanians when we, if we would consider doing it.
All right. And what do you have sort of a dilemma with? What are your questions, or sort of what are your why hesitant? I guess there you go.
The concern would be any unintended consequences. So say we do the convention, we think it's going to be limited, and it ends up not being a limited convention, and we open up the entire Constitution, we could totally change the way this country runs. You know, one of the biggest groups we hear from are those that, you know, believe in gun rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. We could open it up and change all kinds of things, and I think that's where the main concern lies. You know, we have laws. I guess we always, you know, are we following the Constitution? Are we doing our due diligence with enforcing the laws that we have? Those are concerns that we have. And, you know, the correspondence I'm getting and the people speaking down the streets, that's mixed as well. So I'm not getting a clear-cut answer either way. So I will continue to look at it with an open mind, but I do have some concerns.
Obviously, they haven't talked to John Shipman yet. See, that's the problem.
Yes, I know he's very passionate about it.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
Well, it wouldn't be me on the program if I didn't ask you about the radar bill, Linda.
I know, I was waiting.
I knew you would be. Where does that stand? Is the House going to actually run it? I mean, are we going to get something done this year?
Yeah, I think when we go back, we'll run it. We are still working on amendments to it. You know, the longer you let a bill sit, the more we start thinking about it. There's just some tweaks that still need to be made. And now we're questioning, you know, should all of that money go to where it's going, or, you know, do we put it to something like right back into the transportation fund because we know we're short dollars? Of course, still allowing municipal governments to collect their, what is it, $22 or $24?
Yeah, it's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. So, or do we give more? I mean, we're just sort of debating that part right now. I think there's 15 amendments on our right now, and one of them I want people to be aware of is an amendment to allow the state police to do what we're terming moving radar. Moving radar is a technology where either, you know, the state police are traveling in the opposite direction from you, they're traveling behind you, or they're traveling down the street, but they are moving, you are moving, and they can use radar. That is one of the amendments that has been put on the bill. I'm a little leery on that. Just, I'm not sure we still have the votes for radar, so I'm hoping it doesn't, you know, muddy the waters when we're trying to work on radar. But I do have the amendment on there to include all police, municipal police officers, provided they're employed by a municipality or a regional police department.
Well, now, the state police officers have, for some strange reason, opposed radar for municipal police. It strikes me as odd because municipal police back them up all the time, and they back up municipal police. And some of the concerns in the state are that the municipalities would use it to raise money for their communities. Why isn't that a concern with state police using radar? I mean, aren't they raising money for the state?
So, let me a couple things. One, we are the last state in the entire United States to allow municipal police officers to have radar. So I think there's a track record that we can point to in many different states. Two, it's not the actual state police. The state police believe, and I quote, radar saves lives. It's the State Troopers Association that is taking issue with it. And their belief is that officers will go offline, which means they would stop accepting calls from 911, and they would be enforcing traffic. I have never heard anybody locally say that's a problem here. I've committed to working with the State Troopers Association to somehow come up with a solution to that particular problem. But our concern is, you know, all municipal police officers have the same training. They're required to recertify yearly, and they would all receive the same exact training to use radar. And if you talk about a lot of part-time departments have full-time employees, and a lot of full-time departments have part-time employees, some of which are part-time at one department, full-time at another,
right.
So they'd be allowed to use it in one job and not another. So We're trying to fix that when we go back.
Well, with all due respect to the state police officers, that's a ridiculous argument. I mean, what you're going to do what you have to do. I mean, you could be on police patrol and you get a call. That doesn't mean you don't answer the call. You could be setting up a speed trap, but if you get a call, I won't say a speed trap, speed enforcement area, but you could get a call saying there's a domestic incident. You're not going to not respond to it. You're going to, you know, you're going to go where you're most needed. You're not going to sit there and continue to run traffic while someone's life is in danger.
Right. And we pointed out that, you know, using the method we use now, they're leaving equipment behind to respond to the call. This way, they're not leaving anything behind. There's no thought, you know, they can just respond without thinking about it, you know, put the radar gun down and move to the call.
Right.
So, it's something we'll be going back to when we get back.
When you get an open mic to talk about the important priorities in Harrisburg that you're addressing, I know I've been at functions where you've spoken to farmers, you've spoken to firefighters. What are you working on lately that is of interest to many of your constituents?
So Radar Bill has been encompassing a lot of my time. I'm working on a bill between optometrists and ophthalmologists right now. Optometrists are looking for some upgrades in their practices, and we're in negotiations right now because they would like to do some new technology and, you know, do some things that they're not currently not doing that we're negotiating out with the ophthalmologists right now. So that's been consuming a lot of my time as well.
All right, UPMC Susquehanna Sunbury, you've been involved in some of the early discussions there. Your thoughts about the status of that right now?
So, I mean, I think they're still continuing to provide care. You know, I think it'll dwindle off. When somebody hears the hospital's closing, it's probably not their first choice to go to, you know, in the case they need care. So I think you'll see that dwindle down. We are continuing to work on it. The community at large is really excited to see what we can do with it. It was a huge loss, I think. And as we move forward, I know we have meetings set up for the first week in January with potential, you know, medical people that might want to come in. So we'll see. I mean, I'm saddened by it, but we can't sit too long and be sad. We have to move forward and make something positive out of it.
Well, I know you and I both served on the board at Sunbury Community Hospital before it was sold. And UPMC, when they came in, they made a lot of wonderful promises and commitments. I remember Mr. Johnson's speech under the tent out at when they took over and all the things they were going to do for the hospital. It doesn't seem to me like at 2 years they've given it enough time to make something positive happen. Is there any chance they might reconsider or play some part, even if it's a small part, in some ongoing health care in the community?
I don't think there's a chance that they'll keep the hospital open. Will they continue to provide clinics, like their ENT department and maybe some of their, you know, general practitioners, perhaps, but we didn't get a clear answer on that.
Okay.
All right. And final question. Do you have a closing statement or something else to say to your constituents right before Christmas or anything else to add to our conversation today?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's so important to me to make sure people are dialoguing with me. It doesn't matter where you see me or if you have a thought, you call me, send me an email, write me a letter, or shoot me a text. If you're concerned about legislation, if you have an idea for legislation, or if there's a problem that you need us to help you address, I have a fully competent staff that has a caring heart, and they will do whatever they can to help you out. As we move into the new year, I am getting ready for appropriations hearings after the budget address. It's important for me to hear from our constituents, and if you have questions as I'm going through appropriations hearings, please text them to me. If I am able, I will ask those questions, and if I'm not, I'll submit them, and we'll get answers from the departments as we go through that process, and that'll be in February. So I just want everybody to have a wonderful holiday season. Merry Christmas. And just a reminder that the farm show is coming up. I'm just going to do a little plug, Saturday, January 4th, Saturday, January 11th. Please come learn about our agricultural community and support them.
Well, Linda, on behalf of the Pennsylvania State Mayors Association, thank you for your very hard work on radar. We do appreciate it, and we wish you a Merry Christmas, too.
Thank you so much.
And if the State Rotunda has another talent show, we know what David Rowe will do. What will you do during the talent show?
Oh, well, definitely not sing. whatever he needs me to do.
Oh, okay, all right.
He's got an incredible talent. It was wonderful to see the two of them do that in the Capitol.
It really was. It was a very, very great thing they did. Really, really a fun thing, too.
And how many people got to hear it?
I think
nobody live. It was a surprise.
Okay, so I only saw a few people in the video, and I wondered if maybe there were more upstairs or somewhere. All right, well, thank you so much, State House.
My question is, did they put the piano back?
Yes.
Good.
They rolled it back. Why does the State House have a piano? Two of them.
They've always been there. I know there's groups that come in across the Commonwealth that, you know, provide, you know, like Music in Our Schools Week.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we allow them to use them so that they don't have to bring them. But they've been in the Capitol for as long as I can remember.
Oh, fabulous. All right, super. Well, it sounded wonderful. It's a great video. We have that link at WKOK.com. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Linda.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver, 108th District. You can see her office in Sunbury anytime you have more questions. We did get one email question that's going to require a little bit of work on Linda's part to come up with a full answer, so we'll forward that to her. That was submitted to us anonymously. We'll forward it to her without the name, and then she can reply to us and let us know the answer that a good constituent has. We are going to take a quickie break. When we come back, I'll do some brief news headlines. We're going to hear David Rowe playing the piano very shortly here on WDKOK. We can talk about State House matters, and if you wish. We just talked about some of the biggest issues in Harrisburg, Convention of States.
We can finish our discussion of evangelicals
right,
and the president.
Joe. Joe's with the evangelicals, still supporting the president despite his many moral failings. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do what I've done. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury and tell them you're going to be hauling family and presents around in a couple days ahead. And this car has absolutely positively got to be clean. It's got to be ready to go. It's got to be pumped up with nitrogen. It's got to be aligned. And the body's got to be perfect, and the engine's got to be tuned up. And guess what? They can do that at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You got to make an appointment for the body shop. I don't know if they can do that in one afternoon. But nonetheless, they can even wash it. If it's filthy, dirty, they'll get it all cleaned up for you and ready to go. So that's at the Quick Lane, North 4th Street in Sunbury. They'll get you ready for if you're flying around the world with gifts for children from every country, then you know that they have a vehicle for you. Santa drives a Lincoln Navigator with all-wheel drive and a big V8 engine, just like Joe does. So he likes to go in style, and he's getting good mileage, too, because he got the hybrid version. He's trying to save the planet. So Joe's not as interested in that. But nonetheless, the Quick Lane, North 4th Street, Sunbury, sunburymotors.com, the Kia dealership, Hyundai, Ford, and Lincoln are great opportunities for you to save money and get tremendous value for your dollar. Our toll-free line is open. We're wrapping up a discussion about the Christianity Today article. We argued about it on Friday. Monday, I won that article argument, but today Joe's holding his own. So you weigh in on this topic, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. Dr. Chris Ellis, Associate Professor of Political Science at Bucknell University, talked to us on the newsline about the impeachment proceedings, and he had some question marks about what the Democrats and Republicans are up to.
I think Democrats certainly could have made more overtures to try to make this seem like a more bipartisan process, but it wasn't clear that Republicans were going to bite on that no matter how far they went. So I think the process has been sort of fair given the fact that Democrats control the House, and it'll be fair given that Republicans control the Senate.
The Senate trial on impeachment may take place in January, but the impeachment articles themselves are still in the House. You can hear some of his analysis about that on tomorrow's On the Mark show. We have a On the Mark best of show, and his full interview is already posted on the WKOK podcast page. 'Twas not quite the night before Christmas, and all through the State House, lawmakers were off, but one Valley lawmaker was still working the keys. That is David Rowe, our state representative, newly elected, playing at the Capitol with Andrew Lewis. We have a better sounding video. Our video sync is a little out of the whack there, but sounds much better online at WKOK.com. We have the link posted there. Some other brief news items. Businesses which manufacture those frames that can be built into working firearms are suing after the state attorney general classified their products as guns under state law. A Commonwealth Court lawsuit filed Friday asked the judge to stop the state police from implementing new policy. They're responding to the legal guidance issued earlier this week to the state police by the Democratic Attorney General Josh Shapiro. He's telling the agency to treat the unassembled ghost guns, gun frames also referred to as 80% receivers, as firearms. The plaintiff said the opinion doesn't give fair notice to people regarding what's legal and what's not. And finally, Salvation Army leaders in Maryland. We always have this story. You always have two stories around Christmas. One is about people paying off other people's layaways at Walmart or Target, and you have one of these. Salvation Army leaders in Maryland say a donor recently dropped thousands of dollars worth of jewelry in a red kettle. A captain in Annapolis says that he was shocked to find the ring and two bracelets were real. One of the bracelets, a yellow gold piece from Tiffany, has been sold for $1,500. A gemologist will soon examine the ring and a second bracelet that features diamonds and rubies to determine their value. Pearl Eldridge is the ringer who collected the donation. She called the donor a quiet spirit and said the woman told her the pieces were sentimental but had simply been lying around. Another unusual donation reported in Army kettles around the country includes a gold bar dropped into a kettle in Kentucky and a more than century-old gold piece in North Carolina. Maybe that was one of those Roman pieces that Joe's had a chance to...
A century old, no. I think the Roman goes back further than
that. Two millennia old, maybe a Roman gold piece. That would be something else. All right, so we'll keep you posted if we find out the value of some of those good items. Well, we are right in the middle of our discussion that relates to Christianity Today magazine came out with an editorial that said the president is unfit and should be let out of office either by impeachment or by voters. As you can imagine, many other Christians, probably half the Christians in America, disagree with that observation. And to that end, we're enjoying a discussion. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. We've got one caller before a quickie break. Good morning. You are on the mark. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Mark. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody. I hear all the time blame the President Trump. He did a lot of bad things. But I don't hear the good things he's making. And I ask you if the President Trump was in love with the officer's wife sending him in front line and be killed and marry her, going to be crime?
I'm ashamed to admit that. I didn't quite get that. Rephrase that question again.
if the President Trump make a terrible crime, you know, to send to fell in love with the officer wife and send him in the front line like in Afghanistan or the Middle East, and the husband die and marry his wife, was terrible crime for a peaceable.
That's a biblical story,
right,
is it not, Demos?
That's Bathsheba all over again.
Right.
Ah, all right, but you don't mess with that. You know, you blame the President Trump or whatever, he touched the woman, but you don't say for the King David the things he did it.
Yeah, that's the way Joe is. It doesn't matter what the president does, as long as his 401k is satisfactory.
No, I think he's coming down on you. I think you're not getting this correct.
Oh, okay.
Am I right, Demos? You would disagree with Mark, right? Demos. Not me.
No, I disagree with Mark.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So I guess I have too high a bar for our president.
The religion, sometimes the religion and the country, for me, my country coming first and after religion and family. Because if I lose my country, going to lose my religion and my family.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Most people probably wouldn't agree with that, but I think that's an interesting idea you got there.
Yeah, but if you look at the religion leaders, make a blood test and pass them the history in the name of the Jesus. And the Jesus not say kill your enemy, he say love your enemy.
Yeah, he does.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we don't love our enemies today. We belittle them, and we want to impeach them and throw them out of office, and we don't want to pay attention to what they have to say or acknowledge the good things they do. We just want to get them.
Yeah, but the Christians tried to bring the enemies in here in America to create big problems.
Yeah. You got a point.
All right.
Hey,
excellent.
Thanks,
Demos. Thank you so
appreciate
much, Demos,
okay,
for calling.
Merry
Care.
Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody,
and
Republicans
to you,
and Democrats.
Hey, you too,
and you
buddy.
Too, Demos.
Thanks for
Take
calling
care.
In. 1-800-795-9565. We got open phone. We're right in the middle of our discussion about Christianity today. And one of our emailers sent us a note, and one of our texters sent us a note. But we need somebody who's a caller to send us a note telephonically. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Call us now. Call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565.
One of our emailers says, Mark, you sound like the Democrats. Not surprising.
Our caller doesn't
one.
Sound like that.
We really can't get him on anything. So you do what ifs. What if he did this? Would you not support him anymore? Mark, you lose when you ask the what ifs. The what if questions, they don't apply. It's just the way it goes. Sorry, Mark. All you will get is impeachment is name only because the Democrats have redefined impeachment. I do hope he puts out impeachment, T-shirts and hats. I will be looking for them.
I've been impeached. Yeah, I'm with the impeached one. His wife will wear a T-shirt that says, I'm with the one who's impeached. The what about? Well, that's an excellent point. That's the basis of this show. You know,
what ifs.
What abouts? That's what, you know, Joe says, what about, you know, President Kennedy or what about this? It's the way that we discuss things. So it's not just it's not a flaw, really, to say what about.
It's context in many instances.
Right.
And that's exactly what it is.
So what I'm saying to Joe when I say what about is, what about if he did something else? You know, would there ever be a moral character line that he could cross in his personal life that would make you no longer support
him? Yes, if he actually did shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue.
Okay. Well, that's criminal. That's the personal. And that's not really personal. That would be criminal. As you had mentioned, that the affair that President Kennedy had could actually have a national impact. But, I mean, could it be anything? Could he actually do something, and what might that be, that would make somebody not support him anymore? Now, Joe didn't vote for him in the first time. We've talked about that all along, but on our show, he assumes the position of a good Republican and argues on his behalf.
Well, I like what he's doing. I mean, I didn't vote for him for the same reasons that I find have a problem with him today. His personal behavior, I find unacceptable.
What's wrong with his personal behavior?
Well, I don't like the way he insults people. I don't like the way he mocks people. I don't like those things. I don't do it. You don't do it. You know, it's not the way polite people behave.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I do it to you, but only you.
It's not, well, blah yourself. It's not the way polite people behave. I wasn't raised that way. You weren't either. Apparently, he was. And that's concerning to me, but it doesn't impact on how well he does his job. When he gets down, you know, to making the kind of decisions about whether or not we have a trade, you know, everybody said, oh, these trade wars are terrible. Yet the economy is booming, and he's got the Chinese to the point that they're ready to make some concessions. You know, he's, I think, done the right thing in North Korea. He's both held out the carrot and the stick. He ignores him. He deals with him. I mean, he's not doing things the way they've been done in the past. He was elected as a change agent, and a change agent is what he is. Whether you like the change or hate the change, the man is delivering what he said he would deliver. Change.
Well, excellent point. Yeah, thank you. And honestly, I think it is just a matter of your personal sensibilities. If you are going to say, let's just put the impeachment aside, because Democrats say that he's actually committed an impeachable offense, so we'll set that aside. But if, to you, an individual who participates in bullying and name-calling and what mocking and so on, that does not bother you to have him as our president, and most people wanted him to be our president despite, you know, evidence that this was happening. All right, we have a very unusual eclipse happening right now where we don't have a producer in the studio, so somebody's on line two calling, so stand by, keep ringing in, but I'm going to take line
one. Click them real fast to put them on hold.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to put line two on hold, but line one came on first, and you're directly on the air, so thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Oh, good morning, Marcus. It's Stan from Danville.
Good. I'm glad it's you. This is the second time you've gotten right on the air.
Your phone system not working today.
Well, it's a computer dilemma. It's what we're doing, what they call a cold restart.
Oh, okay. Hey, as far as Trump's behavior, now, Joe, I kind of understand what you're saying. You're not used to a president, actually, a Republican president for that matter, fighting back against all the insults and accusations made by the Democrats.
Oh, no, but I am. I'm thinking of Ronald Reagan, who did it with style and grace.
Okay, well, Reagan had a different way about him. I mean, everybody has a different way about him. Trump has the way he is, and it is what it is. I mean, you accept it or you don't. I mean, I understand you don't like it, and that's fine. But quite frankly, you know, over the years, I've watched the news media, the Democrats, you know, they called Bush a murderer, a war criminal, and all this, and he didn't do nothing, absolutely nothing to fight back. You know, and I don't understand it. Why these guys sit there and take that kind of stuff and don't fight back? You know, it makes no sense to me. And Trump fights back, and quite frankly, I like it. Now, sometimes he may get a little carried away, but for the most part, I don't think so.
Well, that's an excellent point. A lot of presidents have taken some deep, deep criticism. Whether they were a Republican or Democrat, there's been deep, deep criticism from the other side, people who opposed them, that was, some of it was personal, some of it directed at their family. And in most cases, they have taken the high road or just chosen to ignore it. But, of course, with this president, if you enjoy that, and it makes for good talk show fodder, if you insult the president, guess what? You're going to get it back.
That's right. I mean, and that's, in my opinion, that's the way it should be. You know, you shouldn't have to stand there and take that kind of stuff from anyone. You know, if people would be civil to him, he's quite civil to them. But when they're not civil, well, he just turns it right back on them. And I personally don't have a problem with that, because for too long it's been going on like that, and it's got to stop. You know, and everybody says, well, the president has to be the better man to do it. So, you know, he tries to work with the Democrats, and they stab him. I shake his hand and stab him in the back. You know, it's a constant thing. So, he is the way he is, and I don't have a problem with it.
All right, we got you.
Now, as you said, if he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue, unless it was in self-defense,
well, that's a criminal charge.
Yeah, that might be
that's
a problem.
Different. Yeah, that's a little bit different. That's not a moral failing.
Well,
that's
but the difference is, Stan, that so many people, and we have two callers holding, the difference is so many people can't separate that personal kind of stuff from his job performance.
Right,
I can.
It's the sensibilities that you have.
You know, I give him very high marks as a president of the United States and very low marks as a human being.
All right. Thank you so much, Stan.
Well, everybody's known what they had before he was elected.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, amen.
Thanks,
all right,
Stan.
Thank you so much, Stan. Let's see. Next caller, you're on the mark. We don't have the ability to screen a call, but we know you wanted to be on the radio, and you are, so go right ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, well, I believe
Lance.
Some time ago, a sage called in and said that Bill Clinton had really paved the way for Donald Trump because he proved that a crude, rude, misogynistic rube could be a very effective chief executive. And he really did.
Well, you said that a couple years ago.
Yeah, I believe I did.
What's a misogynistic rube? Just out of curiosity, I understand the definition of both words.
What's rube mean? That's a new one for me.
That's like, hey, rube. It was always a circus term used to describe the great unwashed, if you will.
Okay. Oh, I got you. Okay.
Right. Yeah, you got it there. But there would be something Donald Trump would do that I would immediately pull my support for him. And that if he came out and said, well, sir, you need to turn in your guns, and that abortion for all, for any reason, is legal now. Mm. That would be the end of it.
He wouldn't do that. Well, he certainly wouldn't do that on abortion. He claims to actually be pro-life. That isn't just a circumstance in his life. That's the way he really is. So he certainly wouldn't support that. But as for the guns, well, that would certainly explain, you know, your unwillingness to support him if he were going to support some anti-gun measure. Shows why every time he talks in favor of having a conversation about a common sense change in gun laws, that is immediately the NRA flags him and says, if you do, you go on down. And then he changes his opinion back to, you know, don't change anything. So, well, that makes perfect sense because he would not wish to lose, you know, strong supporters like yourself or Stan, who was just on the line, is a big supporter of the Second Amendment. So, you know, something that would diminish his popularity in that regard. All right, Lance, thank you so much. We'll give you the last word. Anything to add to our good discussion?
Well, only that...
Okay.
Trump, within the NRA, he was not clear on a whole lot of laws, and that was, he didn't understand them. He didn't realize a lot of the things we were already doing. Well, just like you were filling out those forms that you have to fill out in order to buy a firearm, and you didn't realize all the things you were signing for.
Okay.
I mean, Stan had to straighten you out, I remember, some time ago.
Right, yeah, because I'm on narcotics and marijuana and all this other stuff, so that's a no-no. All right, thank you.
That was the whole thing with him. He didn't understand the laws we already had.
Gotcha. All right. Okay. All right, Stan, sounds great. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Lance, yeah. Thank you so much, Lance. Enjoy your Christmas. Thanks for calling in. All right, another caller, no screening. You go right on the radio. Thank you for waiting. You're on the mark.
Well, Mark, when you're talking about Trump and the people that like him and dislike him, did Noah and his family dislike God when he said he was going to destroy the people and all the life forms that he created?
No. He just willingly did what the Lord asked him to do.
Yes, but it was the Lord who killed the people that he created. And man is somewhat the same way. Because in the Old Testament, it says, let us cast man out of the garden, for he eat from the tree of life and live forever. For now that he has eaten from the tree of knowledge, he has become one of us. So, what's the difference?
He's become one of what?
He become one of us.
I got you. Okay.
In other words, man became his own God. He knows right from wrong. And whatever decision that he makes is the right decision, whether you agree or disagree
or not
with his decision.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in, Paul. Very much appreciated. Enjoy your holiday.
We wanted to take a break.
Yep. We got to take a break to stay on schedule. We got an email and a text pending and a caller waiting. So it looks like we'll probably fill out the day with what we got waiting. So we will be right back and we'll resume our conversation.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
WKOK News Time. It is now 9:57. We have
WKOK
an email.
WKOK News Time. Are we in the middle of the newscast?
Yep.
Okay. Here we have an email. It says, here's some names someone called people. Vipers, fools, blind guides, serpents, white sepulchers. He even said, are you dull? You don't understand what I'm saying? Guess who? It was Jesus.
All right, the original name caller. Okay, so I guess it's okay for the president if Jesus did it. What would Jesus do? He would call somebody.
He would call a white sepulcher.
He would call a perfectly wonderful, professional woman fat. Okay, I guess. Whatever you say. Thank you for holding without pre-screening, but you are now on the radio. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I think it's me, but I was going to tell you, Joe, that you said about North Korea. Well, John Bolton is not very happy with the policy in North Korea, if you follow him today. And he has some expertise in this stuff.
Yeah, I heard he was upset.
He's very, very unhappy. He's really concerned about what's going to happen over there. The other thing I said, if you actually take the time, listen to Donald Trump's mumbling about windmills over the last weekend and his thing. He went on and on and on and never said anything.
About windmills?
It was amazing.
Well,
windmills.
Yeah. Yeah,
for minutes. I watched it twice today because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Okay, have a good holiday.
All
bye.
All right, thank you. You too. Thank you so much. Email and the text, Joe.
Right, the text says, good morning. I believe Trump will resign when the Democrats get the others to speak at impeachment hearing. Happy New Year. And then an email says, holiday security tip for listeners. If you're going away for the holidays, leave your youngest child behind to create a complicated series of booby traps to defend your property.
Yes, and they also put a tie line to the neighbor's house, or to maybe to the garage.
What was
like that?
Home Alone.
Yes, or yes, Home Alone
okay.
2. Or
one of them was at Christmas time. I don't remember. Yeah, they all were.
Right. So great, great films. Well, Joe, you enjoy your holidays. Have fun. We'll see you a week from today. You'll be back for another live show.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll have a best of, and then Wednesday it's a year-end review on WKOK, and then kind of a mixed bag on Thursday. But, it will be another recorded show on Thursday. And then Friday we'll be back with Ben Reichle.
And then we start all over again the following week.
Next week. But we do have New Year's Day off.
Oh, good.
But
goody.
We'll have new live programs next Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we'll have part
like
two of the year-end review from CBS on Wednesday next week.
It'll be interesting to see if over the Christmas holiday, Nancy Pelosi sends those impeachment things to the Senate.
All right.
We'll see.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a very Merry Christmas, everybody.
Mr. Joe McGranahan, our wonderful co-host. I'm Mark Lawrence. We thank you. Please, it's the last time I'm telling our On the Mark audience, enjoy your holidays, have a very Merry Christmas, and remember the reason for the season, and enjoy. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury WKOK News Time. It is 10 a.m.